prince of the prophets, talking about the prophet Isaiah, that he came from an aristocratic family, and that's why scholars called him the prince of the prophets. And we have looked at several things before. We looked at the fact that the enemy comes to try and intimidate us as one of the messages. Last time we looked at the prayers that get results, coming out of Isaiah 58. Today I want to look at the spirit of Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan. I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 1. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. And I'll tell you why when I finish reading. In that day, the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword. Even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. So the reason why I chose the New American Standard Version is because it says he will kill the dragon. Many other versions, like the NIV has, he will kill the monster who lives in the sea. But the New American Standard Version makes it clear he's talking about the dragon who lives in the sea, that the Lord will destroy this dragon, this twisted serpent that is called Leviathan. I've only heard one message on Leviathan in my entire life. So the message by John Kilpatrick that I heard several years ago. John Kilpatrick is the pastor of Church of His Presence. He used to be the pastor of Pensacola Church, where Pensacola Revival got started. And from that time, I've gotten intrigued with this idea of Leviathan. I shared on Leviathan here once before, maybe over 7 years ago. And each time I would think of sharing, I didn't feel the release. I didn't feel the freedom. But 2 weeks ago, after I finished sharing about prayers that get results, Sunday evening we were here praying, and I felt the Lord says, now is the time to share. And I believe then that there are some people here, you are actually battling with Leviathan, and you don't even know it. Because you have never even heard about how Leviathan functions. So this is not so much a preaching as much as a teaching, trying to help us to get some glimpses into how the enemy functions when he functions as Leviathan. And so I'm hoping that God will give us some revelation, some insights. Lord, we ask for revelation and insights as we look at this idea of Leviathan, because it's mentioned here in Isaiah. We're going to spend most of our time in Job chapter 41, but it's mentioned here in Isaiah. And as I was researching it, the scholars, looking at different commentaries, the scholars see here Leviathan as a reference to Egypt, the nation of Egypt, that if you look back, you know, the Exodus story, how the Egyptians dealt with the Jews and how they were very reluctant to allow the Jews to escape. And eventually, God had to intervene in different ways to bring freedom. So many of them see this as a reference in Isaiah to the nation of Egypt. And there are some scriptures there in your notes in Ezekiel 29 and Ezekiel 32 that seem to indicate that there it refers to the monster of the sea, referring to the Egyptians. There's also a scripture in Jeremiah where the monster in the sea is referred to as Nebuchadnezzar. And so there's a way in which Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians also functioned under the influence of this Leviathan spirit, because it's a spirit. And as we have learned over the time that we have been together, the spirit works oftentimes through people, sometimes through organizations, I put it here, groups, through countries. And so he will come in all different ways, shape and form. And if you don't know what you're dealing with, then you can be caught off guard, and then you can be caught perplexed, and you can actually lose your arm. Because when he comes, the scholars believe that the closest animal that we have today to help us to understand this creature is the alligator or the crocodile. They're both similar. There's some differences in how the mouths are and things like that, but they function in similar ways. And so scholars see these creatures as the closest thing to how Leviathan would function. And so I showed that clip for us to get an appreciation that When he comes, he's coming for everything. He's coming for your life. He's trying to destroy you. He will take not just your arm, but an arm and a leg. And you're going to need God's help and God's grace and God's mercy to experience freedom. So this is not just a little demon that harasses you, or you know, and a little temptation again. This is something serious. None of us want to go out there and say, I'm just going to battle with, you know, with a crocodile or an alligator. It could be fatal. You know, there are some crazy people who do try and keep them as pets. I was watching one of these clips. But this lady, when she's feeding her pet, she makes sure there's a piece of furniture between her and the animal that she's feeding, the alligator. It's not like a little dog that you just pat on the head. if you pat this thing on the head, you're going to lose your arm. And so it's important for us to know what we're dealing with. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, this is what the Lord says. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And he came to the earth, and then he knows his time is short, and he came against the people of God. In Isaiah there, he's called a twisted serpent. He's called a fleeing twisted serpent because he twists things, he twists God's word, and he's always on the move. Job chapter 3 and verse 8 says, may those who curse days curse that day. He's talking about the day he was born and the things he was experiencing. And he said, may those who curse days curse that day, those who are ready to rouse Leviathan. So there are some people out there who are ready to rouse up the enemy in this type of way. It should not be the people of God. But Leviathan, as I said, works through people. If he comes into a church, he's going to tear that church apart. You see, he's at work in our nation right now through different groups and different organizations. And as we go through, I trust that you'll be able to discern where he's at work. And if he's at work in your... Sometimes he comes at us through our own family members, sometimes through an ex. You'd be surprised. Sometimes in your own organization, there might be people who, because of how they function, they've opened themselves up to be used in a Leviathan way by the enemy. So I'm moving over to Job chapter 41, verse 1. Can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down its tongue with a rope? That's like a rhetorical question that is being asked. Can you look at that alligator and pull it in with a fish hook? The obvious answer is that no, it's going to burst, it's going to break, or you're going to go with that fishing line. Can you tie down its tongue with a rope? You're going to be in trouble. So that's how Leviathan functions. I put here that it often begins with pride. Job 41 and verse 34 says, it looks down on all that are haughty. It is king over all that are proud. So one of the features of Leviathan is a spirit of pride which refuses to acknowledge anybody else. Everything must go my way. It's my way or the highway. And that's one of the ways you can quickly realize this is not normal. This person, this organization, this group is out to destroy you. And if you don't align yourself with it, it's going to try to tear you apart. It's my way or the highway. It's a haughty spirit. It has many heads. Psalm 74, verse 12 down to verse 14. It says, but God is my king from long ago. He brings salvation on earth. It was you who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the waters. It was you who crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave it as food to the creatures of the desert. And so Leviathan has many heads, many ways in which it appears. When you think that you have been victorious in this area, it suddenly appears over here and over there. Because it has many heads. Many different ways to manifest itself because it's not going to go away quietly. Let me give you a hint. It talks about him being a twisted spirit. And so there are groups in our country that when you look at what they stand for and how they function, you can see that they're twisted. And they have many heads, many different ways to appear. They will appear in your schools trying to teach your children twisted ways of living, twisted ways of family life. They will appear in your companies. They will appear in your families. And their goal is not just to get you to, you know, stand back. Their goal is to completely destroy you and tear you apart because you're a child of God. But don't be deceived. Even though that spirit appears in that particular group, it also appears in different ways. As I said, Nebuchadnezzar was classified in Jeremiah as someone who typified this monster in the sea, someone who typified Leviathan, who came against the people of God and would destroy them. He threw the Hebrew boys into the fire. That's the spirit of Leviathan. You see? So this thing has many heads. If it's someone in your family, just when you think you have peace, something else comes up. Some other issue. It's the spirit of Leviathan that you're dealing with. It cannot be controlled by normal means. So back to Job chapter 41. Verse 2. Can you put a cord through its nose and pierce its jaw with a hook? Again, the answer is no. Will it keep begging you for mercy? Will it speak to you with gentle words? So there are times when Leviathan will seem as if it is calm, when it seems backed into a corner, but it's not going to stay there for too long. It's going to circle back and come at you. And it's not going to come to you with nice, gentle words. It's going to come at you because it wants to tear you apart and to destroy you. Again, you can see it through these groups that are in our society, on our college campuses. They will back off for a while, but they're going to come right back and they're going to come to destroy you. If it's an ex you're dealing with, they're going to come right back. Just when they think everything is settled. And they are coming for an arm and a leg. By the way, you can say amen every now and again. I know these are important things for us to grasp because, you know, if not, the enemy will catch us blindsided. You go on YouTube and you just do a search of alligator attacks. And you'll be amazed. Lady walking by with a little dog, an alligator just attack. Walking by with a child, alligator attack. Some kid was at Disney and that alligator looked upon there and he's walking by, alligator attack. So you can't just walk by gently and think that, oh, well, it's going to leave me alone. It will attack you. So you have to be on your guard. You have to be on your watch. You have to be alert so you can experience victory. Yeah. Oh, help us. It cannot be controlled by normal means. Job 41 verse 26 says, the sword that reaches it has no effect. Nor does the spear or the dart or the javelin. It just bounces off. Boom. So you can't use normal ways, and later on we'll talk about how to deal with Leviathan. But in Isaiah it tells us that you have to use the mighty sword of God to deal with it. It's not just a normal little type of way in which the enemy works. It cannot be controlled by normal means. It will not humble itself. Verse 4 of Job 41. Will it make an agreement with you for you to take it as your slave for life? Nope. It might appear docile. If you see these pictures, you'll see in the ponds, they look quite docile. Until it's ready to attack. The lady was swimming in the pond. I'm sure if she saw it before, she would not have gone swimming. So she was swimming. Everything seemed fine and dandy, but not for Mr. Crocodile, not for Mr. Alligator. He was like, And so when you recognize the people who will arouse this thing in themselves or in others, it helps you to be alert. It helps you to be aware. It helps you to know what you're dealing with. It will not make an agreement. One version says will not keep covenant with you. You don't want to get too close to it. Verse 5. Can you make a pet of it like a bird? Or put it on a leash for the young woman in your house? You buy a nice little alligator. It's a little baby. Hey, nice little pet. Well, how many of you know that there's going to come a time when you're going to have to get rid of that thing? Because you can't train it like you train a dog. And make it sleep on your bed like a little cat. You don't want to keep this thing as a pet. You see, people who have allowed themselves to be used like this, you really don't want to get too close to them because they will turn against you and destroy you. You see? If you try and make it nice in your organization, in your country, watch out. They will take you to court for an arm and a leg. Because you said something that they didn't like. Am I getting through? Do you understand what I'm talking about? So as a church, we can't come to them and say, well, let's just have an agreement. Let's just make peace. They know no such thing. They are waiting until your backs are turned to attack. So the people who have their little businesses, they're going to come for them. They have other ways of getting their stuff done. But we are going to come for you. There are other ways in which you can have agreement. You think you have an agreement with them when it comes to your ex. And before you know it, that agreement just falls apart because what? That Leviathan spirit rises up inside of them. And they want to really totally destroy you or cut you off. Some of you have to go into hiding. Oh, help us. I've seen it in situations. Verse 6. Will traders barter for it? Will it divide it up among merchants? Verse 7. Can you fill its hide with harpoons or its head with fishing spears? Again, the answer is no. You don't want to invite it into your fears. It's going to create problems. It has a thick skin. So you can see all sort of stuff and it's going to just run off their back and they're going to come right back at you. It's Leviathan. It's not your little garden lizard. Oh, help us. It creates trouble when it's roused. Verse 8, if you lay a hand on it, you'll remember the struggle. Is that up there? You'll remember the struggle and never do it again. Hey, look at petty. You go and do that to Leviathan. Go and do that to the alligator or crocodile and see what happens. You never do it again. If you have a hand to do it afterwards. So when you see these folks, watch out. That's all I got to say. They're in your organizations, watch out. If they become your supervisor, Lord help you. Like Nebuchadnezzar, Lord help you. If they're in your group, your church, pray them out. I'm serious. Because they'll destroy the church rather than, because things have to go their way or nothing's going to exist. They don't care. You know, you could just read this all by yourself. You don't really even need me. Verse 9. Any hope of subduing it is false. The mere sight of it is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse it. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under the sun belongs to me. That's how they function. That's how they think. It is not fail to speak of Leviathan's limbs, its strength, and its graceful form. Who dare open the mouth, the doors of his mouth, ringed with fearsome teeth? So it's strong and ruthless, my friends. It will destroy, it will tear you apart. Who can strip off its outer coat? Who can penetrate it It's a double coat of armor. It will protect itself. It can't really, truly be known. Verse 15, its back has rows of shield tightly sealed together, each so close to the next that no ear can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. So you can't really do much damage to it. You just have to know how to protect yourself and how to pray. Because they're going to come at you if you dare to arouse it, if you dare to say the wrong thing. They're in our culture. And you know them. You know these organizations. That's the spirit of Leviathan. It would rather destroy the nation than to not have its way. Let's talk about some of the ways in which it functions. It looks for weakness. Verse 18. It's snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like rays of the dawn. If you look at it, if you see any of these clips, you see the eyes are just above water level and it's looking. Looking for weakness. Looking to catch you off guard. That ex who was so nice and so sweet, who has allowed himself to function like Leviathan, is looking for weakness, looking for an occasion to come back at you. Somebody in your family, some extended relative, looking for an occasion. It's the spirit of Leviathan that's at work. Verse 19, flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. It has a deadly tongue. That's what I put here in the notes. When it speaks to kill. It speaks to cut. It speaks to burn you. To destroy you. So it's not coming with nice, kindly words. If it's nice, kindly words, watch out. Something is coming right behind it. Some of you are starting to understand now what you have been exposed to. Some of you have never been exposed to it and pray that you'll never get exposed to it. But at least you might be able to see others who are exposed to it. It's very defiant. Its breath sets coals ablaze and flames dart from its mouth. Strength resides in its neck. Dismay goes before it. So it's very resilient and it's full of anger. Verse 25, it has a hardened heart. Verse 24, its chest is hard as a rock, hard as a lower millstone. When it rises up, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before its thrashing. Because it comes with intimidation, it comes to bring fear. And so you might think that you are strong, but when it comes against you, the spirit of fear will sometimes grip you. Because the enemy who is at work. So it seeks to intimidate. It seeks to destroy. Verse 28. Arrows do not make it flee. Sling stones are like shaft to it. A club seems to be but a piece of straw. You can't hurt it. These are the things that you're trying to do to keep it at bay. In fact, even when you establish boundaries, I was surprised recently, I was watching one clip, and this alligator climbed over the fence. So even you establish boundaries to protect yourself, if you don't watch, the enemy will get over that and come against you again. But I believe there's a boundary that the enemy can't get against, which we'll get to in a few minutes. It will destroy anything that gets in its way. Verse 30. Its undersides are jagged potsherds, like a trailing mud, like a threshing thread. It destroys everything in its path. It makes the depth churn like a boiling cauldron and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. It consistently, wherever it goes, creates problems. It's a matter of time. verse 32, it leaves a glycerin weight behind it. One could think that the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is equal, a creature without fear. The spirit of Leviathan, when it's at work, it's fearless. It doesn't matter who you are, it will come against you to destroy you. When Nebuchadnezzar came against the Hebrew boys, he came against them to destroy them. Throw them into the fire. Then we'll see this God that you say you're serving. You either bow to me or you're going to be destroyed. Either it's my way or I'm going to destroy you. So, with that brief description of Leviathan, how are we going to deal with it? What do we have to do to experience victory? When it comes against us, when it comes against your children, and you're standing by and you can see, that's Leviathan coming against my son or my daughter. What are you going to do? Because normal people can come to them and say, oh, don't you see that? That is unreasonable. But these are not normal people. These people are full of their own ways, so they are going to like, oh, you mean unreasonable? So what are you going to do? If you're not on their side, they're going to come against you. In Revelation it says, they overcame this great dragon, this serpent of old, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. So you got to know the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you can set your boundaries, yeah, but if you don't have it set with the blood of Jesus Christ, let the devil know, level, this is the bloodline. You cannot cross this line. My son, my daughter is covered under the blood. You can't cross that bloodline. So he understands when you pray, when you take your stand, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, because he's already a defeated foe. And he can snort and he can do all sort of stuff. But when the blood of Jesus Christ is applied, he himself has to bow. He himself has to retreat. So you can't come against him in your own strength and reason. You deal with some of these things in prayer, applying the blood of Jesus Christ so you can get the victory. If there are people in the work scene that are being used by this, you go before the Lord in prayer and deal with the spirit that's behind them. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. It's warfare. So you got to know the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, you can try talking to them, but don't be surprised if the talking don't make any sense, if they're unreasonable. Yes, you can show them love and should show them love, but don't be surprised if they just cast off your love and come against you. You got to deal with them with the blood of Jesus Christ. You got to understand the power of the word of God and your testimony to proclaim and to decree and to declare what God's word says and what you have experienced in terms of God's victory. I put here, you have to avoid self-condemnation. Because these people will twist things around and make you feel guilty for just taking a stand. So you've got to avoid self-condemnation. That's what the enemy likes to condemn us and likes to turn things around against us and say, if you are a Christian, then how are you behaving like this? When you're just trying to take a reasonable stand. So avoid self-condemnation. You can't return evil for evil. Paul says to overcome evil with good. But avoid that spirit of self-condemnation. And I put here, don't compromise your faith. It says of the saints in Revelation, they did not love their lives even unto death. They were not going to compromise. Even if it means dying, they're not going to compromise. So when that spirit's at work in our society, you've got to make up your mind. I'm not going to compromise. It's a twisted spirit. So the death sometimes might mean economic death. You know, for some of us, physical death will be easier than economic death. It might be economic death. You might lose your job. You see? But you're not going to compromise. That's the way to get victory. Because once you compromise and that spirit gets a hold of you, it's going to subjugate you. And so the Hebrew boys, when they were faced with the fire, they say, "Oh King, our God is well able to deliver us." That's Daniel chapter 3. "Oh King, our God is well able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow." That has to be our conviction. That no matter what, we're not going to compromise what we know about God and God's word. Our God is well able to work the circumstances out. But even if he doesn't work it out in the way which we think, we're still not going to compromise. We're going to stand based upon God's word, based upon what God has said, based upon who God is. Because this spirit, when it works in this twisted way, is not just wanting to do its own thing. It wants you to align yourself with it. It wants you to be subjugated to it. It's trying to wipe out your own convictions, and you have to know mouth what they want you to mouth. Don't say I didn't warn you. And you can, many of you already see it in different circumstances that you have been dealing with. You can see it working through some individuals. And suddenly it makes sense. You realize, oh, now I know what I'm dealing with. Now I understand why they're so unreasonable. Now I know why they're so vindictive. They've aroused that spirit of Leviathan that has now taken control of their lives. Paul says not to retaliate. Don't retaliate evil with evil. Again, we experience victory through the love of God. He says, if they are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Overcome evil with good. Look at how Daniel and the Hebrew boys functioning in some evil circumstances. They didn't compromise from the get-go. Daniel says, we're not going to eat your food. We're not compromising. And they continued to support the king in different circumstances until God intervened and brought Nebuchadnezzar to himself, brought him low, as Nebuchadnezzar himself realized that there is a God in heaven who has put me here. We still need to establish some boundaries, even though the enemy might climb over the fence. The scriptures I have there is a scripture with David and King Saul. King Saul allowed himself after a while to have this Leviathan spirit at work in him as he came after David in different circumstances. When he said to David, "Oh, you are so righteous, more than I am," and he thought that everything was going to be fine, and he walked away. 2 chapters later, here comes Saul again after David. Till eventually David says, "You know what? I'm going to live amongst the Philistines. Establish some distance between me and this crazy king, because sooner or later he's going to destroy me." So sometimes you have to give yourself a little space from some of these people. If it's a family member, if it's an ex. Sometimes you have to give yourself a little space, a little boundary. Otherwise they'll drive you crazy. That day they talked about your arm being taken off physically. They'll take off your arm psychologically and emotionally. They'll wear you down. That's what the devil does. He tries to wear down the saints. And so sometimes you have to give yourself a little space, get yourself to a safe place, so that then you can stand, then you can pray, then you can see what's really happening. Because in the midst of it, sometimes it's like, "You don't understand. Why are they like that? Why are they so unreasonable? Why do they keep coming at me?" So when you get to a safe place and you're there with God, God can say, "Oh," suddenly things come into focus and you realize, "Oh, this is what I'm dealing with." I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. Don't allow yourself to be subjugated by Leviathan. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to be under his feet, and the reality is that he is already under our feet. So he wants to subjugate you. And so don't allow yourself to be subjugated. The only person who should subjugate our lives is the Lord Jesus Christ and nobody else. I put here, pray and fast and seek the Lord. Back to the psalm. The psalmist says in Psalm 74, verse 14, it is you who crush the heads of Leviathan and gave it as food to the creatures of the desert. It is God who will cause this spirit to be dissipated. It is God who will give you the victory. It's not in our own strength. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimonies, and they didn't love their lives even unto death. And when you read through the book of Revelation, you see Jesus comes on the scene and they get the victory. And they sing this song, salvation belongs to our God. That word salvation can also be translated, victory belongs to our God. And so you have to really spend your time in God's presence. You have to really seek to walk with the Lord so you can get the victory that is already there for you. Because these people, if they get a latch onto your arm, oh God, help you. They'll tear it apart. And you can't say, well, why don't you let go of my arm? Because they are unreasonable. Learn to use the scriptures. It is with God's fierce, great, and mighty sword that we experience victory. It is the Lord who punishes Leviathan using his word. So this idea of just trying to get them to be reasonable, you need to learn to use the word of God and to decree and to declare and to realize that the enemy is afraid of God's word. Just as much as he's afraid of the blood of Christ, he's afraid of the word of God. To understand God's word and to use it in prayer until you see the victory. Let us stand. Sometimes when the enemy is involved in this situation, in your situation, just like the lady in that clip, you have to call for some help. Sometimes it's like the enemy is trying to pull you under. That's what the alligator does. Pull the people underwater. Pull the animal underwater. You have to cry out to somebody else to help. Cry out and say, Brother John, come and help me. Sister Sue, come and help me. I need help. This situation is overwhelming. The enemy's really got a hold of this circumstance and I need victory. I need to see some stuff change. That lady in that pond, she was blessed in that there were some people close by who came and helped. Because the Bible says that one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. The Bible says that if two or three shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. And so there's power in agreement. And so some of these circumstances where the enemy has gotten a hold of some stuff, we need to come together and to believe God that as we pray together, as we stand, as we bind and loose, we have been given authorities, whatever we bind on earth shall already be bound in the heavens. That things will change. That victory will be appropriated in our own circumstances. So we're not standing by feeling helpless, but rather we are saying, devil, get out of here, because we have victory over you. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care how you appear. We have been given victory. We're not fighting with weapons of with carnal weapons, but we're using spiritual weapons. It's a spiritual being. If they got a hold, if that spirit got a hold of somebody in your family, and especially if it's a twisted way in your family, it's only prayer and the blood of Jesus Christ can set them free. You can come and reason with them and say, well, why do you want to live this way? They don't understand that. Their minds are blind. But as you would agree in prayer, God, I believe, can set them free. God can break those bonds, those chains over their lives. If it's an unreasonable ex, I believe that through prayer and fasting, God can intervene and bring about a change. And in our society, we got to, as a church, stand against the spirit. Because trust me, Right now, it's just in a little holding pattern. I don't even know if it's a holding pattern. It just started creeping. It's still going forward, creeping. But just like that alligator in that water, it's a matter of time before it lashes out again. And we, the church, we need to be ready. That by the blood of Jesus Christ, to tie this thing down and to tie up its mouth and to pull it out. Victory is ours. Let's just bow our heads this morning. I hope you got some insight. This is one of those messages I felt like just taking my time with it. Because it's so important. Maybe there's somebody in this house, even as we have our heads bowed. Maybe there's somebody in this house, you're saying, Joe Campbell, I need to recommit myself to the Lord this morning. Maybe you have drifted from the Lord and you want to recommit yourself this morning. Anybody in this house? And then maybe there are some people here, even as I shared, you could discern. You could see that you have been battling this Leviathan. And you're saying, Joe Cameron, will somebody pray with me? I'm going to ask us to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house? A couple of hands. I'm going to ask some folks just to go over to those who have their hands raised. As I've been battling this Leviathan spirit. And just pray with him and agree for that thing to be broken, for that circumstance, for the enemy to be let loose without tearing off his arm or his leg. Just pray and agree and rebuke that thing with the blood of Jesus Christ. Anybody else?
I just want to share something about what he shared. I think when we realize what's happening, we'll deal with things differently. A little over a year ago, I had somebody in my practice write a letter to the board for me to have my license revoked. And I spent a lot of time just trying to figure out what on earth. It didn't make a lick of sense to anybody who knows me. Or anybody who's around me, even in my job, it made not a lick of sense. And I spent so much energy trying to stress about what's happening and why are they doing this and I don't understand and I can't see what it is. I questioned myself, I looked at myself, and I honestly couldn't see what I did wrong. And I think if I'd understood from early on the spirit behind that, the person was just being used by the enemy to try and bring destruction in my life, to bring chaos, that I'd have, this is just instructional, and hopefully if it happens again, if I'd recognized what was happening, I would not have wasted a whole ton of energy and emotions on that situation. I'd have just brought to the Lord, prayed with him about it, and just left it, instead of trying to think in a human way. But I don't understand why they're behaving like that. What did I do? What happened? You understand? I can't understand their thinking. You don't need to. You just need to know who's behind it and deal with it. And I just, it's an instructional thing. Let's not try and reason too hard as human beings about why this and why that. Let's just go to the bottom of it.
Again, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, God, that in Christ we are seated far above all principalities and all powers. And Lord, we are victorious in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we leave here, Lord, I pray you might give us eyes of discernment to be able to see when the enemy is coming against us, when he's sneaking up behind us. And Father, we won't be caught off guard. But Lord, as you said to us, to be alert. Because we have an adversary, the devil, who in this situation is like a roaring lion. Lord, in the context of Leviathan, Lord, is like a roaring alligator, seeking to find someone to devour. Lord, we ask you, God, for your protection. We ask you, God, for your covering. We ask you, God, for your discernment in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, give us strong in the Lord and in your mighty power. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are for us and not against us. We thank you that you have called us to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so, Lord, as we leave here, Lord, I pray you might help us, Father, to be in tune with your spirit, to be led by your spirit. And help us, oh God, to be ready to stand with others who may be in need. Help us, oh God, to show the love of God and to do good and so doing overcome evil. Lord, again, we thank you for victory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, and amen.